Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
I want you to stand with me even right now in your Bible. Stand. I know you're not used to standing, but stand. Stand for the reading of God's words. What I normally do at Loboa is I don't put it up on the screen, but I'll be lenient to you today and allow you to turn into your Bible, look up to the screen, and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1, please. The book of Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. It reads and says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, and by means of Christ's blood on the cross, this includes you, who are once far away from God. You are his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe in this truth and stand firm in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you've received when you had the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, Isla Lobo James, have been appointed as a servant of God to proclaim it to you. Now, Father, I pray that the entrance of your word will give light and ultimately give life. Therefore, Lord, unfold your word into our hearts that we may understand it. Quicken our minds to understand and perceive your word, but also quicken our hearts to believe the truth that is in your word. For in your word lies the treasures of truth. And so I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's children say, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. As we draw close to the Easter season, we want to make sure that we bring our focus and attention on the reason for the season of Easter. And the reason for the season of Easter is Jesus Christ. Why is it important for us to do this? Because there have been many cultures and customs and traditions that have been picked up over the years that have taken people's focus away from the centrality of Easter. It has simply become a holiday for many people where we take long breaks and go to the village for 3 or 4 days and come back to Kampala and that's it. We have Easter practices that are around the world and are picking up here in Uganda, like the Easter hunting, like the Easter egg hunt, or the Easter egg painting, or the Easter bunny. There are other practices that people have come up with, and some of them are just outrightly wicked practices, taking our focus away from the centrality of the season, which is Jesus Christ. But much more than just bring attention to the focus of who Christ is, we are in an era and time of life where there is so much spiritual discombobulation. What I mean is there's a lot of confusion about Christianity. There's a lot of confusion about spirituality. There's a lot of confusion about how we can attain and connect with God. There's a lot of confusion around that. And so our desire in this Easter series is to bring that focus back to the one who is confuseless. Jesus Christ. And we want to get to the place where you and I embrace the truth that Jesus Christ is supreme over all. And we want Easter to be the time where you realize that the one we are celebrating is not a mere man, but he is the supreme being of all beings. We want to help you come back to the place where you are confident of your faith in Jesus. That you may grow in depth, that you might be anchored in the faith you have believed. There's a lot of confusion out there. You see, when Paul was writing this letter to the Colossians or to the church in Colossae, there were a lot of heresies. There were a lot of deceptions taking place. One of the deceptions that was taking place is that for you to be truly saved, you must add to your gospel the law of Moses. The Jews were telling them, no, this gospel is too simple for you to really be born again, to really be saved. Therefore, you need to add these laws and traditions that are in the Bible, that were in their scriptures at the time, the dietary laws, observing of the moon, observing of the Sabbath. If you add those things, then you will truly be saved. Basically, what they were saying is that Christ is insufficient. And we have that taking place today. And you know what's happening in this world today? Christianity is being mixed with things like witchcraft. Some people come to church on Sunday and they even go for a small groups and they can lift up their hands and say, praise the Lord. But they have a room in the house where they go and bow to a certain God to give them success. They're dedicating their chairs. They are here. Hopefully not. And unfortunately, there are many so-called churches and false teachers, prophets, and apostles who are using witchcraft to deceive people. I've heard phrases like, I mean, if your God is taking long, you come to ours. What is that? And unfortunately, there are Christians that have gone and been deceived. There's a mix of Christianity with the New Age philosophy that any path can lead to spirituality. They have embraced things like healing discs, crystal healing something. I remember they were selling them, buy this disc and put it on your water and its power will go in the water. Just drink the water. That is called modernized witchcraft. Since when did a crystal have power? I can go on and on and show you how this is happening around the world and here in Uganda. In fact, there are some Christian sects that don't believe that Christ is enough. So for them, they will follow the law of Moses and they don't eat pigs and they don't eat what. And before they enter the church, they remove their shoes. And these are Christian sects, let alone the non-Christian people, but they're Christian sects that believe these lies. The other thing they were teaching in the time of Colossae was that they needed to add to this thing called salvation, or even altogether do away with it and embrace a practice called asceticism, which is really a severe mistreatment of your body so that your soul can be detached and you attain the highest level of spiritual purity. It's happening. It's still an Eastern mysticism. And some of it is practiced through what they call yoga. Empty your soul. I don't even want to do it. Empty your soul. When you empty your soul, what comes in? Do you know, I was reading up about yoga to make sure that when I'm coming here, I had information. Every move in yoga is an offering to one of the 330 million gods in Hindu. In fact, the whole principle of breathe in and breathe out is breathe out the impurities and breathe in the force of the universe. Ephesians chapter 2 says that the God of the air is the devil. If you empty your soul, they were actually exalting angels. Worshipping angels, worshipping stars and moons, and worshipping the created things. And I got thinking about it and I realized, by the way, we are, whereas we may not necessarily be worshipping and bowing down to angels, we know people who bow down to saints. There are people who worship the founders of the ministries. Thank God we don't worship Pastor Gary Skinner here. The false prophets, apostles, and teachers now are the gods being worshipped. Oh, there's this one that they were teaching, that you need to attain a certain level of secret knowledge. That it is so deep, you need to rise to a certain level and access the very knowledge of God. And you know how they teach it? They speak to you in ways that make you feel like you're dumb. And it's always a play of words, by the way. It's a play of what? Words. You need to have a certain spiritual language, like the language of a computer, unless you discover your language of the computer. I'm thinking, what does a computer have to do with the language of the spirit? There's only one spirit, and there's only one language. Holy Spirit. It is Him who gives us tongues. So I am here to tell you today, and if you have your Bible, you're going to flip around the Bible quite a bit. Chapter 2, this is my heartbeat for you. This is our heartbeat for you. Verse 8 says, do not let anyone deceive you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Listen, Christ is sufficient for everything in life. Don't be deceived. Don't be lied to. Don't follow after deep revelation. Follow Christ. And that is why we are talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ as we lead up to Easter. To let you know that the one we celebrate is supreme in every way. Jesus is the ultimate. When I say He is the supreme one, all I'm really telling you is that there is no one greater than Him. There is no one who is more excellent than He is. There is no one who is as magnificent as He is. There's no one who can rival His authority and power. There is no one who can have wisdom and knowledge greater than that of Jesus. No one. And because He is supreme, everything He does is always supreme. He doesn't do mediocre. He doesn't even know what that means. You are complete in Jesus. He is more than sufficient for you. Paul helps us to understand the supremacy of Jesus. And there's three aspects that I'm going to, there's many we can say, but the three aspects that I want to highlight for you today so that you can anchor your life in who Jesus is. The three aspects about the supremacy of Jesus are this. The very first is in verse 15. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Listen, I'm going to say it straight. Christ Jesus is God. The word image here, yes, means likeness. But more than likeness, it actually means the representation or manifestation. So Christ is the physical manifestation of God. When you see Christ Jesus, you've seen God. In John chapter 14 and verse 9 to 10, Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Christ and the Father are one and the same. They are distinct, but their very nature is the same. Hebrews chapter 1 says that the Son is the exact representation, the exact imprint of God. So if God had fingerprints, if He had, it means when God the Father would put His fingers here and the Son puts his finger here, and let me add, and the Holy Spirit puts his finger here, you would not tell who is who, because it's the same. So the one we are believing in, or you've believed in, is not an ordinary man. Verse 19 says, and God was pleased to let his fullness dwell in Christ. It's the same as in chapter 2, verse 9. Same thing. The fullness of God dwelt in Christ. So I know there's arguments around Jesus being God. The Jews themselves don't believe in a Messiah who walked on earth and died. They don't really believe. They just know him as an historical figure among them. A lot of Jews struggle with this whole idea. The Muslims just think of Jesus as a good prophet. Yes, he's holy, but he's not divine. He cannot be the Son of God. How can God give birth to a son? And there's many other theories in some Christian sects. They deny the divinity or the fact that God, Jesus is God, and they claim he was just a messenger. I think it was one of, I don't remember the name of that particular sect, but that's what they say. Here's where we need to understand why Christ is God. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, did not become, Christ did not become the Son of God when he was conceived and given birth to. Okay? Neither did Christ become the Son of God when the Holy Spirit came upon him. But Christ Jesus, the Son of God, existed before creation with God, and he himself was God. And because God passionately loves us with a love that is everlasting, and there is nothing impossible for God, he subjected himself to humanity. If God can create all the universe, why is it hard for him to come and save you? Why would it be hard for God to send his Son, who existed with him before time, to take the body of a man to die for? Why would it be hard? We say with God, all things are what? Possible. So why should this be an impossibility for God? That's why we say, but for the grace of God, none of us will be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, 6 to 7 says, but Christ, who is in very nature God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with him, but let go and emptied himself of the privileges of being of God, of the glory that he had in heaven. And he came and was found in the likeness of a man. He emptied himself. You see, if God was to come in his full glory, man would not live. Because you can't see the face of God and live. So he had to strip himself of all of that. There's only about two people who saw Jesus in his full glory when he was transfigured. Three. Then on the island of Patmos, John the Apostle saw Jesus as the Jesus, the God of all creation. So I'm here to tell you guys that if you want true spirituality, find it in Jesus. If you want to be connected to the divine, find it in Jesus. If you want to know what true spirituality is, if you want to know pure spirituality, find it in Jesus. Faith in Christ is faith in God. Not some demon. Not some prophet or apostle. No. Not even the devil. But in Christ Jesus. The other aspect of supremacy that Paul helps us to appreciate, which really comes from the fact that he is God, is that Christ is both creator and sustainer of all things. And this is very important for us to know this. Because some people think that Jesus was just created. No, I've already told you, he existed before time. He was begotten. To beget means to bring forth. Christ was begotten. In other words, God brought forth his Son from the place of eternal glory through a woman into the earth. So he brought him forth. Friends, my heart for us is we must remain confident in who Jesus is. He says it. All the way from verse 15 all the way down to 17 speaks about that. He says even the unseen world was created by him. The angels that we seem to worship, the demons or the spirit, or the demons that we fear, all these things were created by Jesus. What then this means for us is if he is both creator and sustainer, he is the uncreated creator, which also then means he has all authority and all power. I do not need to add juju, witchcraft, to know what power is. I need to know who Jesus is, and I'll know what power is. After all, as a believer, I cast out the very powers that people are running to. So why do I embrace a less than power? After all, even these demons borrow power. They're on borrowed time. Brother, sister, anyone listening in, joining, I want you to know this. Jesus is supreme. He is the greatest that has ever lived and will be the greatest that will ever live. The very breath you have was by him. That is why yoga don't make sense. And if he is creator, it then means he is the one who has all wisdom and all what? Knowledge. Chapter 2 and verse 3 says that in Christ are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to attain the depth of spiritual knowledge that you are being sold by all false prophets and apostles, you need to walk away from it and embrace true spiritual knowledge found in Jesus Christ. There's a verse in the Psalms, I've never memorized its verse, but it says, God, listen, confides in those who fear him. You become God's confidant. You know what a confidant is? In matter, I will tell you my secrets. If you want to know the true secrets of life and of spirituality, hide yourself in God and fear him, and he will tell you the true secrets of spirituality. Hallelujah. He created all things. So he's wise. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He has all authority. Friends, let's not worship these created beings. Let us worship who? Jesus. Worship Jesus. Which brings me to the third aspect of his supremacy. Christ is the head of the church. Verse 18 says it there. Christ is also the head of the church. It's very important for us to know this. Not only is he the supreme being above all creation, but he also is the one who heads the church. In other words, there is a segment of his creation that is a special one to him because they fear him. He heads the church. It is not La Lobo James. It's not a senior pastor. It has never been any one of us here. It is not the Pope. It's not the bishop. It's not the archbishop. It's not a prophet. It's not an apostle. No, Jesus. He has the final authority over the church. And Paul helps us appreciate why. Very, very, very quickly. Helps us appreciate why. I'm going to begin with the one in verse 19 going down. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. In other words, Christ purchased you, the church, with his blood. And because he bought you with his blood, he owns you. That's why I love what Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. And I'm going to put it this very way. If there is anyone you follow, that does not follow Jesus, unfollow them today. Yeah. If they don't unfollow them, I don't care how lofty they sound, I don't care how they look powerful, but as long as they don't follow the risen Lord, walk away from them. We have to reestablish this truth this Easter season. This confusion has to end. And the world needs to know it. Christ is the head of the church. He has the final word. Why? He bought you with his blood. And that means his sacrifice is sufficient. You don't need to add anything else to the sacrifice of Jesus. You don't need to add ceremonial laws anymore. Mm-mm. Your offering does not make you right with God. It is Jesus. Your offering is given to him out of love. Your offering is given to him because you recognize, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'll be dead. I live a righteous life not because I'm earning salvation, but because in the sufficiency of Christ, I can now live a life that honors Jesus. And I love what it says. In verse 18 there, it says he is the beginning. Other versions say he's the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he would have supremacy. The word firstborn does not mean born from the womb. Firstborn simply means he has preeminence. It simply means he has the highest priority. So the Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead, so that he might be supreme in everything. Listen to this. Christ, the God-man, right, died in his body. So please know, God did not what? Die. But Christ died in his body. And Christ rose from the dead as the first fruit of what we will all be like. What that means is when he rose from the dead, he conquered death. And now, Sharabo, are you hearing where I'm going with this? Listen. Everyone else was raised in the Bible, died. Even now, if you go and raise someone from the dead, they will die. But Christ is supreme from the dead because he conquered death. Colossians chapter 2, I told you, chapter 2. I'm just going to skip it all the way to verse 14. It says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them by his victory over them on the cross. He is supreme over death. He has victory over death. Oh death, where is your sting? You know what? You can live with confidence that if right now you upped and died, you'd be in the presence of Jesus. We are afraid of death. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Christ himself came in the form of a man, that he would defeat the one who had the power over death, so that all who feared death would be freed from the fear of death. I shouldn't be afraid of dying. I want to live long, no doubt. But if the Lord shall say, time, I should go joyfully. Because I know where I'll be. Do you know where you'll be if you die? Have you believed in the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus? Have you accepted the sacrifice of Christ? Have you believed in the fact that there's no one greater than him? Have you put your faith in him for the forgiveness of sins? I implore you by the mercies of God, put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. 23 years ago, I surrendered this heart to Christ. Through every high and every low, I cling to this truth because if it wasn't for Jesus, I know where I would be. 6 feet under and in hell for eternity. But now, I am not even 6 feet above. I am in heaven. Some of you think I am joking. Ephesians chapter 2 says, God made us alive with Christ and he has seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not literally there, but I have the confidence that I am with him in that same place. I share. Do you believe in Jesus? Listen, let this Easter not pass you by without surrendering your heart to Jesus. Let it not pass you by. And I want to re-echo these words as I close for you. It's in chapter 2. Actually, a couple of verses, but then I'll close for you. This is what it says in chapter 1. And I'm going to skip to chapter 2. And in verse 23, now that you know this truth, 23 says, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you've received when you heard the good news. But also preach the good news. Let me skip for you to chapter 2. Verse 6 says, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to follow him. You must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong, bold, strong. In the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every rule. In other words, who is supreme above all else. I really want to encourage you. And if you really want to go deeper into this thought here, please go open the Word of God. Read the whole book of Colossians and understand it in depth. Easter is for reminding us that he is supreme. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice. His love was the ultimate love. I'm going to talk about all that. His resurrection is the finest and the final of all. His kingship is the greatest that will ever be. So would you preach the gospel? Would you invite someone to church? Would you tell someone about Jesus? Share the gospel with them. But if you're sitting here right now, and if you're joining us online or on air, and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know there's no other supreme sacrifice, other supreme salvation except the person of Jesus. Would you surrender your heart to him? Surrender your heart to him. If you are considering following one of these false teachers and prophets and apostles, whatever their names are, walk away. I can confidently tell you, sit here. Would you trust in Jesus today? Let's bow our heads.
Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word. In a world where a lot is said that doesn't cause us to love you even more, in a world where a lot is said that doesn't draw us to you so that we may live surrendered lives to you. In a world where so much is said that drifts us away from you, we are so thankful today that we have heard your word. Lord, I pray that this word will sink deep in our hearts this Easter, that our love and commitment to you, that our boldness for you will be reignited and stirred up again, that it will be like a fire shut up in our bones that we cannot contain, and that it will produce lives that are pleasing to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And there is no greater love for you than the love that Jesus has for you. And this love of Jesus for you led him to the cross. And on that Good Friday, Jesus breathed his last on that cross. And he said, "It is finished." Because all that was needed for the sin of man to be dealt with, all that was needed for man to be saved, was finished on the cross by Jesus Christ. And 3 days later, he rose to life. Only he has the power and authority to save you from your sin. And maybe this morning you feel so far from God that you're trapped in sin. And you're crying out to him this morning and you're saying, "Lord, forgive me of my sin and save me." I want you to know that he hears you. And this day, if you will put your faith in Jesus and receive his forgiveness of your sin and his blood that washes away your sin, and if you would make him supreme in your life, if you'd make him the Lord and Savior of your life, you will be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, and saying, "Jesus, that's me. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you." Here's what I want you to do. Lift up your hand. And don't lift it to me. I cannot save. Lift it to Jesus. He's the only one who saves. Just lift up your hand and say, "Jesus, here I am. Thank you, sir. God bless you." You're here this morning. You say, "Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I surrender my life to you. Save me." Lift up your hand to him this morning. He loves you so much, he will save you. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand to him? He loves you. Jesus came to die for you, to save you. Thank you. Upstairs, Jesus sees that hand. Is there anybody else? Just lift up your hand. You're joining us online. You say, "Jesus, I surrender my heart to you." Do it right now. Do it right now. Lift up, and I want you to post an emoji of a hand that is lifted in the chat section right now and type, "I give my heart to Jesus." Do it right now. Do it right now. Jesus loves you. You're joining us on air in the room. And you want to make things right with Jesus. Jesus is more than enough to save you. Just lift up your hand to him in that room where you are right now. I want you to know Jesus loves you. Today you will be saved. Today you will be saved. Here in person you're saying, "Jesus, I recommit my life to you." Maybe you drifted away. And as you heard God's word this morning, in your heart you sense, "I need to come back to Jesus. I can no longer drift away. I can no longer play games with him. I want to recommit my life to Jesus." Lift up your hand. Jesus loves you. You may feel like you've messed up so badly. I want you to know he loves you. Lift up your hand and come back to him. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. Just lift up your hand. Say, "Jesus, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. Thank you. Right over there, Jesus sees that hand. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I want to be serious with you upstairs in the overflow. Lift up your hand online. Would you lift up an emoji of a hand in that chat section and type, I recommit my life to Jesus. Do it right now. This is the most important decision you'll make any day of your life. You're joining us on air. You're sensing, I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I drifted away. I'm coming back. Lift up your hand in that room. We're about to pray in a few moments. But I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. Are you here, my brother, my sister? And you feel like, no, I can sort out my life later. No, do it right now. Do it right now. Thank you, my brother. Is there anybody else? Lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Oh, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. Don't be ashamed. Lift your hand real high to Jesus. He loves you. Do it online. Do it. Type, I give my life to Jesus. Lift up that emoji of a hand. Type, I surrender my life. I recommit my life to you. Thank you for lifting up that hand. Now I want you to keep that hand lifted up to Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer after me and mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart, because as you do this, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray together and encourage those making this commitment. Everyone saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you. And I will follow you for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Come on, let's clap our hands. Everybody say amen in Jesus' name. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,